The Sloppy Sorting Hat is a podcast that includes adult language and content, as well as spoilers from your favorite TV shows, movies, and books. It is also a zero-budget production that may sometimes have weird audio quirks. You have been warned, and this is your last warning.
It's the Sloppy Sorting Hat.
Welcome to the Sloppy Sorting Hat. This is a podcast where we sort characters from our favorite movies, books, and TV shows, but because the hat, and we, are a little sloppy, we will most likely get it wrong. I'm Michelle.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Amanda, and we're the Sloppy Sisters.
The question isn't, what are we going to do? The question is, what aren't we going to do in this episode? You know, games, and other stuff.
So for this episode, we are going to twist and shout while we sort the characters from Bueller, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
But first, we need to get sloppy.
Ready, Fred? Ready, George? Bottoms up.
And I will start us off. I'm getting sloppy with a better beer, and I'm drinking the 21st Amendment Brewery's Spark Ale, and it's the better beer of choice for our favorite spark-starting, prank-pulling, firework-blasting twins, Fred and George Weasley. This is a sparkling rosé ale with apple, cranberry, peach, and cherry. The can has a really pretty firework on it, which reminds me of Fred and George's amazing firework display in the Order of the Phoenix. It is a respectable 5.5%. It's a little bit sweet, but it's actually pretty good.
Sounds delicious.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. Amanda, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking a beer from Royal Docks Brewery, which is located in Canton. I like to support those local breweries. And it is called Backyard Crusher. And I decided to get this one because it is for when Ferris is just crushing all those backyards to get home in time. And I just found it interesting because there is a picture on the can of a lawn chair. And I think during the movie, he like trips over or kicks some lawn chairs during his rush home. So,
oh no, the best lawn chair related thing during that run home is he runs past those two babes that are sunbathing.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes back like, hi, I'm Ferris.
That's a good one. That's a good beer.
Yeah. Michelle, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the North High Brewing Company Rise IPA, and I thought that it was appropriate since our man Cameron has to rise up against his dad at the end of the film when he destroys his Ferrari.
Nice.
So true.
So cheers, Cameron.
Cheers to you, Cameron. I feel bad for you during this entire movie.
We'll get to it.
So, while we are getting a little bit sloppy so we can sort properly, let's play a game. We are going to play Dude, Where's My Broom?
Besides, you don't even know how to fly.
Accio Fireball!
What an idiot.
So, for all of you new listeners out there or who just maybe forgot, this is a segment where I'm a little bit tipsy from too much sloppy sorting, and I landed my broom somewhere in the wizarding world, and I'm a bit confused as to where I am.
The wizardly world.
Wizarding, wizardly, whatever you want to say, I'm okay with either.
Either way, you are B-U-I-N.
Yes, mm-hmm. I am. Ugh, that's okay. I'm just tipsy, though.
So it's
not,
okay.
Not
that's
saying okay. That any of that is okay, ever. So I'm going to tell my sisters what I see around me, and they have to guess where I am, and hopefully come pick me up and save me. So are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
All right. So I see a very tall building / structure, whatever it is. I don't know because I'm tipsy.
The mystery of magic.
Big no. Ben?
No. I see darkness.
You see darkness or like how are you seeing the tall structure but also darkness?
Okay, so I see slight darkness. Like it's very eerie.
And how many theories are floating around?
So many.
Is it Hogwarts?
No. Okay. I see a lot of water around me.
Is it that?
Oh, it's the island, the little house on the island that the Vernon takes him to.
No.
Well, I got good really guess, excited though. About that.
Good guess though.
Ooh.
All right. I see a lot of cloud cover and it feels very cold, windy, and rainy.
Are you in Ireland?
No.
Are you in Conneaut, Ohio?
Yes. I'm at mom's. Okay, so I may have seen Sirius Black.
Oh, Azkaban.
Yep. Good job.
Oh, man.
So my other clues were, I see Dementors flying around. I am scared. Help, come get me.
Man, that's a rough place to land.
Yeah, I don't know how I got here.
Okay, well, let's go get her, Mish.
Let's get her.
Thanks, guys. Come quick, because I'm scared. There may be a Dementor giving me a kiss soon.
Yeah.
That sounds hot.
So this is the part where the sloppy sorting hat goes berserk and we get sorting.
When I call your name, you will come forth. I shall place a sorting hat on your head and you will be sorted into your houses.
I'm actually up first and I am going to sort the economics teacher. So I'm putting the econ teacher into Slytherin. I think it takes a lot of ambition to think his students are going to answer any of those million of questions he asks. He is very determined though. Instead of just asking the class just one time, he proceeds to say anyone, anyone, after the questions. It doesn't take long for him to give up though and just say the answer. And he is very cutting and sly. He realizes that teens aren't going to answer their names the first time, so he asks over and over again, Bueller, Bueller, until eventually someone answers for them when they are absent. So I put him into Slytherin.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, he doesn't seem to care that the students are bored to tears with this guy. He's just like monotone. Over and over and over. Monotone is the worst.
Yeah. Oh my God, it is. It's so boring.
Sorry, what did you sort him into?
Slytherin.
Yeah. He's so monotone and boring that it's actually encouraging people to cut his class. And if everybody cuts his class, then he gets a day off like Ferris.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, so you think
what a scheme.
Yeah, it's a scheme.
We're not talking about that boring teacher anymore.
Yeah, let's let him go. Okay, I'm up next and I have Grace. Grace is such a sweetie. She's the secretary for Mr. Rooney. And I'm going to sort her into Slytherin because they're sweet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
She uses her Slytherin scheminess to help Mr. Rooney trap Ferris in his lies, but also has that big scheme of ignoring Mr. Rooney and making him yell Grace over and over and over, making him look like an idiot. She's super gossipy, kind of like Draco. She knows all the different clubs, the Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, Sluts, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, and Dickheads. And she knows not to mess with Ferris because he's very popular. She's a righteous dude.
I agree. She's really a righteous dude. She honestly seems like she's just one of the kids.
For sure. And she went to the school. I mean, she's worked there like since she graduated, I think. I don't know. That's probably just something I made up.
Yeah, I think that's canon.
So she just feels like she never left.
That's part of your Grace and Ferris fanfic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Grace. I think she's so funny. I agree with Slytherin for all those reasons.
Yeah, she has ambition to be popular and goddammit, she pulls it off.
She's very determined to stand up against Rooney when she calls him an asshole. She's like, I think it's making you into an asshole.
Really straightforward, which is not necessarily a Slytherin trait, but I mean Slytherins can be straightforward and she's just one of them.
Yeah, agreed.
That works for me, guys.
I'm up next and I have Tom Bueller, Ferris's dad. I'm just going to refer to him as Mr. Bueller because I didn't know his name was Tom. And
that's great. That's great. I like that. Okay. I'm referring to Katie Bueller as Mrs. Bueller. So.
I am sorting Mr. Bueller into Ravenclaw, primarily because his situational awareness is really on point. So just a few examples. First, he sees that attractive woman in the taxi next to him. Side note, she kind of looks like his son's girlfriend from like a certain angle, but that's not important. And he picks up right away that she's flirting with him because this dude knows what's up. Secondly, while driving home, he gets passed by a speeding car and a cop blaring his sirens. And good old Mr. Bueller, he notices something's not right. His breath is foul right now. So he leans over to grab a mint real quick because he can't have the wife and kids noticing his halitosis. Third, on that very same drive home, he sees some D-bag in a questionable vest running right down the center of the road.
Questionable vest.
These Gen X kids are so inconsiderate. He honks a few times at this fool until he moves over to the side. What could have happened if he didn't see this kid? Thank God his son isn't this stupid. And finally, When his wife breaks the news that Jeannie got not one but two speeding tickets and caused Mrs. Buehler to lose the Vermont deal, Mr. Buehler comes up with the only logical solution. He says, I think we should shoot her. So the evidence cannot be ignored. Mr. Buehler is a Ravenclaw.
Oh, yeah. My God. I put him into Ravenclaw because I said, it has that line at the end, I think we should shoot her. Great idea, Mr. B. Yes, shoot your daughter.
Mr. B. Oh, I'm just going to go with you guys. I feel like you did a phenomenal job.
That was so funny. So I'm up next with Katie Buehler, mom. Ferris Buehler's mom. So I think that she is in Gryffindor. First of all, I think it's very reckless to just leave your, 18-year-old son at home all day sick. And I was thinking about this. I don't think mom ever left us at home all day. Although then, again, I was thinking more about it. And we never even took sick days because she literally forced us to go to school every single day.
She left us at home alone all the time.
Yeah, I'm confused.
She didn't leave you home alone.
Oh, maybe
she left. I mean, none of us were really alone, but I mean, I babysat you.
Well, no, I mean like home from school. Like say I was the only one sick. She would just never leave me home by myself.
She stayed home with you?
I think so.
That's wild.
I can't actually remember being sick in high school.
I know,
she didn't like us to stay home from school.
I knew that I always had like perfect attendance in high school. So I don't even think it ever happened. So that I don't know. I just don't think that mom would ever let me stay home in high school by myself. But whatever. Anyways. So additionally,
this is very strange. Like he's 18. I think he could manage.
He's 18 years old. He's like, he's not even a minor anymore.
No, I just don't think that mom ever let me stay home by myself.
I mean, it's maybe brave when your son is Ferris Buehler. That's for sure.
That's because you asked mom. Like mom would go to work and I would pretend like I was going to school. And then I would call and be like, hey, this is Michelle's mom. She's sick.
You never did that. Did you do that?
No.
No. Of course not, mom.
All right, we're moving on. Additionally, I think it's very daring of her to not only clearly have a favorite child, but to show that she favors Ferris over Jeannie. This obviously causes a sibling rivalry and causes Jeannie to act out more. And lastly, and this might not be lastly, I don't actually know. She knows she shows some bravery to realize Ferris may be lying about being sick. She questions him and goes and checks on him during her lunch and sees that he is still in bed, even though he isn't. She normally does not give anything a second thought. So for her to question her loving and most perfect son shows a lot of nerve for her. And this is why I think she's in Gryffindor.
I love the scene where Jeannie's like speeding and she's screaming at her, like, what are you doing? And Jeannie's like, I can't drive when you're screaming at me. Shouting at each other.
Love that.
I love the beginning where Katie, aka Mrs. B.
Yeah.
Just like totally falls for the whole bit, the sick bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Why? And he goes through like all the list and it's like these are all obvious. Like he was faking.
Because I mean, he's just perfect and she loves him so much and he is her prized possession, so he would never lie to her.
The thing about it is like the great thing about the movie when you're watching it as a kid is like look at how he's getting one over on all these adults, these stupid adults. And when you watch it as an adult, you kind of realize like for the most part, Ferris is a good kid. And he just doesn't want to go to school. It's almost the end of the school year. Like, who gives a shit? Like, his parents might have, like, honestly been like, yeah, we know he's faking it, but we don't really care. Like, I feel like I wouldn't care if that were my son.
Right.
Yeah, take a day off in the city. Like, Jesus, who gives a shit?
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm going to do when Leo tries to fake sick. I'll just be like, dude, I know you're not sick. Just go ahead. Have a day off.
Yeah, I would rather you be like, can I have a day off today? And then I know. And do it rarely than feel like you're so stifled that you can't even tell me, like, I'm a little burned out at school, mom. I'd like to go and have fun as a kid, an 18-year-old kid, you know?
I don't think Ferris is burnt out at all at school. I think he has everyone doing stuff for him, but we'll get to that.
Well, that's fair.
I just want to note that I will also ask Leo if I could hang out with him.
I was just going to say that. That's like hearing me, the mom saying, yes, you can stay home from school only if I get to hang out with you.
Yeah, the three of us and Leo are going to go spend a day in Cleveland, and he's going to be like, I'd rather be at school, guys.
Oh, Leo.
It'll be great. Can't wait. Yeah. Okay, I'm up, and I'm with Garth Volbeck, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen. That's what everyone knows him as in the movie.
He was like, I didn't even know he had a name.
He doesn't. Apparently, it was, I don't know, they stated it after the movie.
Oh, yeah. Like there's some sort of backstory with him that they didn't actually put into the movie.
Yeah. So anyway, Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen. I guess he's going to have to go to Hufflepuff because everyone thinks Puffs like the drugs. But also, he's super nice.
We Hufflepuff.
He likes the drugs. Anyway, okay. But he's also super nice to Jeannie. He makes out with her. And, you know, being nice is a legit Hufflepuff trait. And that's all I got. And I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I put it that he's in Hufflepuff because he seems like he's very nice, especially to Jeannie.
Yeah, he's straightforward and honest. And he's like, what are you in for, drugs? And she says, no, what are you in for? And he says, drugs.
I like that she thinks he's like, he's offering them. And she's like, no, thank you.
Also, the moment when she's like, my name's Jean, but a lot of guys call me Shauna. And he's like, okay, Jean. Like, he just shows his honesty. He's not going to be like using a different name than her real name, just like true Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
But why does she do that? Is he so hot she forgot her dang name? Like, I don't understand. She's like, yeah, guys call me Shauna. Do they, Jean?
Who
calls her Jean?
Jean.
Yeah, everyone calls her Jeannie. She's like, my name's Jean. I'm like, what the fuck?
God, she's great.
Well, on that note, let's just move on to Jeannie.
Yep, I'm sorting Jeannie, and she is most definitely a Hufflepuff. First, obviously, because Jennifer Grey is in the Babe House. I mean, Dirty Dancing, guys, come on.
Agreed.
But anyway, and more importantly, she's just a top-notch sister. So she sees her brother Ferris is caught by that dick swab Rooney, and she steps in without a second thought to save his ass. She says, thank God you're all right. We've been worried sick about you. I want you to go upstairs and get in bed, knowingly with like a sly little wink because he's still got to beat his parents up there after all. Mm-hmm. Which I believe, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong on this, is her very first scene in the movie. It's weird that Ferris has this really nice sister who has his back like that no matter what, and we don't see her until the end of the movie. But regardless, just a really heartwarming scene.
Yeah, that's the only time she's in the movie.
I'm sure if she had other scenes, she'd be just as nice, just as good of a sister.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think that she's in Puff because she stayed loyal to her brother in the end.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's true. And I mean, she was nice to Garth Volbeck.
That's right.
Exactly.
She made out with him.
Gave him some time.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. There was this beer at Giant Eagle called the Raging Bitch Beer. And I almost got it to have for and say that Jeannie obviously is a raging bitch during the entire thing. And it was, I know. I love her, though. I think she's hilarious.
So. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, at the beginning, Ferris is just like winking at her during his whole sick thing, and she's just like getting pissed and more pissed, and you know she deserves to be pissed,
right?
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, he's a little shithead to her, and but I mean it kind of goes along with the theme of the movie of like, yeah, okay, well we have our differences, but when it comes to the adults, you know, no, we're gonna stick together.
Especially Mr. Rooney, he's the worst.
Oh, he's awful.
Speaking of Mr. Rooney, I'm up next. I'm sorting Ed Rooney, and I think he is a Ravenclaw. He cleverly tries to pull a fast one on Ferris and tries to catch him when Mr. Peterson, end quotes, sorry, calls and states he needs to pick up Sloane. But first, Ed needs to see the dead body of her grandmother. That necessarily didn't work out for him. He doesn't find it suspicious at all that Sloane goes and kisses her father when he picks her up. Was it her father that picks her up? I couldn't remember.
It's supposed to be her dad. Yeah, because when she comes up to Ferris, he goes, do you have a kiss for daddy?
He doesn't find it suspicious at all that Sloane goes and kisses her father when he picks her up. not smart of him, so not really Ravenclaw trait, but I still wanted to point it out because it wow. He then orchestrates this entire plan to get proof that Ferris is playing hooky, like when he decides to go through the dog door to get in the house. Super clever idea to get in the house. However, it didn't really work out for him because of the dog. Ultimately, I think he was intelligent enough to know that something about Ferris just seems off, and he wanted to get to the bottom of it. I think he tried to be clever with his strategy to get the proof he needed, but Ferris is just one lucky son of a bitch, and it doesn't work out for him. And at least he accepted the offer to take the school bus back to school instead of walking. Very wise of him.
Yeah, getting on the bus is really great.
Yeah. I think you could make a Gryffindor argument because Ferris is really a righteous dude and Rooney stands up to him.
I think that his actual house is Gryffindor, though.
Oh, I thought it was Slytherin. Yeah.
I was thinking Gryffindor because I thought that he was very brave and he was really reckless. So, because I thought about Gryffindor, I was like, oh, I really think I should put him to Gryffindor. But I was like, but I think that might be his actual house. So I don't know. So I just did, I was safe and did Ravenclaw.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because we all know he's definitely not in Ravenclaw.
I love the part where he's talking to Mrs. B on the phone and like he's had 9 absences and it goes ding, 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 ding to 2.
Yeah, he doesn't think anything of it. Like nothing else comes from that scene. Like he's not worried about his computer. Like,
that's for a car, got a computer. For some reason, 9 times is one of those quotes that's just stuck in my head. And anytime the number 9 comes up, I'm like, 9 times. 9 times.
I love him, though. He's really funny. I mean, he's the worst, but he's funny.
Yeah.
And that scene at the end when he gets on the bus is just so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm up next and I have Sloane. And you know Sloane. She is a hell of an actress. She acts super sad when her grandma fake dies. She acts like she's into Mr. Bueller while in the taxi. She acts like Mr. Rooney's a great principal. She does a great job acting.
He's a great guy deep down.
Yeah. That's what you can see in her face when she's trying to tell him all those nice things. She also does a great job acting as someone trying to call and speak with Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. Mm-hmm. She's just acting throughout this whole movie. And because of her creativity and her quick wit, she's going straight to Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's really smart enough to just, like, take a day by day with Ferris, just going off, doing whatever. It's really smart.
It's smart enough to be with Ferris because he's hot.
Yeah. I think he's kind of lucky to have her, though. I think she's out of his league.
Yeah, she really is.
Oh, she for sure is. 1,000,000%. You know what's very interesting about Sloane is that she's so great at acting for her character, but the actual actress is terrible.
She's not great. Come on. That's mean.
Not great in the movie.
I mean, to be fair, from like a feminist perspective, the point of that character is just to be hot. Like, she's not really exactly very funny.
Oh, that's
outside
true.
Of like interacting with Ferris or Cameron. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Well, I put her into Slytherin because she has Ferris's back in the entire time. So, Avi Slytherin.
What?
Wait until I get to my Ferris Bueller recording.
I like Ravenclaw because I do agree with you, Danny, that she is quick on her feet and she just kind of goes with the flow with whatever Ferris asks her to do, no matter how crazy it is. And Cameron has been probably his friend longer and struggles with Ferris, but Sloane is just right there with him on the same level. Yeah.
Sure. Wait, did you put her in Ravenclaw?
Yeah. She did, yeah.
Okay, Ravenclaw.
I really kind of think she actually belongs at Beauxbatons, but I couldn't think of anything to say about it.
Oh, that would have been good. I agree.
Yeah, I was like, well, she's out of his league, but that's all I had.
Because she's so sophisticated and glamorous.
She put her into the Babe House.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I figured somebody else would use the Babe House, and Michelle did with Jeannie.
I did. Well, because Jennifer Grey is just so hot. And, like, can we just talk about how Jennifer Grey should have never done that nose job?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Because, like,
thanks for your permission, Danny.
I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep this in because I don't want Jennifer Grey to hear it and feel bad because I know she listens.
Can you not keep that thing about Sloane in either?
But, like, she's just, like, I just thought that she had such an amazing face and a spectacular nose, and then she did the work on it. She didn't look the same. And, I mean, she's still great, but I don't know. I just thought she was just gorgeous. She didn't have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
She's still gorgeous, but I'm just saying she didn't have to change anything about herself.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's very common, unfortunately. When did she change her nose?
It was she actually has a nice nose. Why did she change it?
I don't know. It was after Dirty Dancing.
It was after Ferris Bueller then, right?
Yeah, because Dirty Dancing was after Ferris Bueller.
She has a great nose. I don't know why she... Oh, that's sad.
Right? It's an amazing nose. I mean, it's not like the most petite, perfect little like button nose or whatever, but who gives a shit? Because it's a great, unique looking...
What's her name?
Jennifer Grey.
I'm looking her up. We're going to put a picture of Jennifer Grey on our Instagram. We can all comment on her nose.
No, we're not doing that. Because that I don't really want to focus on like the fit. Like, because I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what she looks like. She's an amazing, funny, talented actress. I'm just saying I wish she hadn't felt like she had to do that. Because
she's so pretty.
She was gorgeous. And still, she is gorgeous and has always been gorgeous.
Yeah, she really is still pretty. Oh, wow.
I think I liked her first nose better.
I think so, too. You know what, everybody? This is a good point. Keep your beauty how it is. God made you the way you are for a reason. Don't get work done.
Listen, Amanda.
You are beautiful the way you are.
I'm up next, and I'm sorting my man, Cameron. Ferris's homie since the fifth grade. I am sorting Cameron into Gryffindor. Throughout history, there have been some truly awe-inspiring speeches. Speeches that have given anyone listening the courage and strength to face whatever adversity was standing in their way. John F. Kennedy told us that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Henry V proclaimed that anyone not a part of the happy few, the band of brothers at Agincourt, willingly risking their lives for England, shall think themselves accursed and hold their manhoods cheap. Martin Luther King said, if we make the right choice, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our world into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. But all of that pales in comparison to brave Cameron, who said, and I quote,
God,
he'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous. Okay, I'll go. Shit. God damn it. Oh, forget it. That's it.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that history lesson.
First of all, Michelle, that was another great sorting. I mean, I feel like you should just sort all the characters.
No.
It wouldn't be as good if ours weren't so bad.
Everyone just anticipates Michelle's sorting. They're like, all right, Amanda and Danny, we're over it. Michelle's fired. I put him into Ravenclaw because he's smart enough to know that his dad's car could be breathed on wrong.
It's a great point because you can breathe on things wrong. I've done it many times.
I love that part when he says that. Breathed on wrong.
I think I'm going to go with Gryffindor with Michelle because he says, Ferris Bueller, you're my hero. And that seems like a risky move to have Ferris be his hero.
Not only that, kind of like he kind of fakes being Catonic so that he can like get a little loving from Sloan.
Yeah, a little looksy.
Pretending that he is so out of it that he can't see Sloan when she's undressing.
What a perv.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the kind of scene you would put in a 2020 movie, that's for sure.
Oh, no, there's just no way. So, fun fact about Cameron. Do you guys want to know some trivia, but just, I guess, a fun fact?
Yeah, I do. It sounds fun.
So, he was born in Cleveland, and he,
Cameron or the guy who plays Cameron?
No, Alan Ruck.
Okay.
The guy who plays Cameron. So he was born in Cleveland. He actually lives in Cuyahoga Falls. And when Justin used to work at Office Max, he used to come in all the time and just get random copies of things. So Justin has actually met Alan Ruck.
That's awesome.
I know, isn't that really cool?
Yes.
Yeah. So hey, shout out to Alan Ruck.
Shout out, Alan. Hope you're listening.
We love you and this podcast.
We love all of your random copies too.
Thank you. Speaking of Justin, he brought me another beer.
Oh, are you going to slither in?
Yeah. Yes, I am. It is time for the segment of slithering in with another beer.
Oh, my God. It's just Slytherin.
Awful.
Slytherin.
So this is the same exact beer that I was drinking before. Sorry, I don't have any other ones. I only bought 1 6 pack.
Guys, I'll Slytherin with her.
Slytherin!
I'm having a vodka and Coke, which is not as good as vodka with rum. Oh, sorry, no.
Danny, oh, honey, baby, sorry. I think you have a problem.
Did you not drink vodka with rum? Oh, my God.
Sorry. You know what I meant. A rum and coke.
It's called Rumka.
It's just all I had. Actually, all the rum's gone. Why is the rum gone?
Because Adam.
Anyway, but we still have Coke, so I just put some vodka with Coke.
So I'm up next. I'm going to sort Ferris. Yay, Ferris. Ferris Bueller is the most schemiest bastard there ever was. Thought about keeping him in Slytherin because he just deserves to be in this house. He comes up with this entire scheme to get his parents to let him stay home for the day. And this isn't some normal high school kid like who says he has a stomach ache and puts a can of pea soup in the toilet to make it look like vomit. Mish, I know you did this.
Why would you waste some good split pea soup?
Oh, I ate it later.
Ew. That's so gross. All right. No, this guy literally puts a full-on mannequin in his bed, has it tied to a string that moves when the door is open, so it looks like he is rolling around in bed. He then went to the length of having audio sounds of him snoring in his room and when the doorbell rang. And this kid has the audacity to say, incredible, one of the worst performances of my career. And they never doubted it for a second. Like, what do you mean this is one of the worst performances of your career? What the hell else have you done to scheme your way into staying home? And then... his parents, oh my God, his parents are seriously so naive. How in the world could they not tell that Ferris wasn't in that bed? I guess it's pretty easy to scheme your way out of school when you have the most non-observant parents ever.
Hey, Mr. B is a Ravenclaw.
He forces to take poor Cameron's dad's car and says that they will just have to drive backwards to take the miles off. Like, what? I don't get that.
That's a joke.
I know.
Okay.
Thanks for spelling it out for us, Mish.
No problem. This is another segment of Mish Explains That Things Are Jokes.
And then he schemes his way into eating at the fancy restaurant by saying he is the sausage king of Chicago. Doesn't get caught by his dad no matter how many times he runs into him. He gets the whole school and faculty to send him good wishes because he's apparently sick and the students are literally asking for donations. Like, this guy is it. He is the most lucky person in the universe. He even literally gets to sing Twist and Shout during a freaking parade in downtown Chicago. This entire time, he doesn't get caught. I think Cameron says it best when he tells Sloan that everything just works out for Ferris, because it clearly does. So for all those reasons, I truly just can't even sloppily sort him because he just needs to be in Slytherin. But I don't know, maybe he can just be in Puff because he seems like a good guy deep down or whatever we say. Oh wait, we say that about Slytherin, so he's saying in Slytherin. And then I said, you're welcome, Adam. Because Adam is also the most luckiest guy in the world. The
yeah,
most
for real. Danny, Leo, great sisters-in-law.
Yeah, he has the best sisters.
So yeah. He's obviously in Slytherin, and I'm keeping him in Slytherin.
Agreed. You're welcome, Adam. I know he doesn't ever listen, so.
He is the most... he's just so freaking lucky. Like,
Ferris or Adam?
Both, but mainly Ferris. Mainly Ferris.
You know, I think Adam would actually like if we were saying he's like the Ferris Bueller of our family.
Oh, yeah, he would love that, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I agree with your sorting, Amanda. He can just stay in Slytherin. I feel like he could be a Gryffindor, but yeah, all the scheminess is Slytherin.
Oh, yeah, he's literally so schemy. He just needs to stay in Slytherin.
And his ambition to stay at home... it's really high.
Determination, too.
He has the ambition to do nothing but have a good time. It's great.
He actually is one of these people that I wonder if they belong in Hufflepuff because they work so hard to do no work that it's like you should have just done the work.
Oh. Oh,
nice point, Mish.
Yeah, good argument.
Just outside of the box.
And also, of course, Babe.
Oh, for
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
Matthew Broderick and Ferris Bueller's. Yeah. So,
fanning myself.
I love his baby face that he doesn't have any facial hair. Oh, my God. So yeah. Good. I love
despite
it.
The questionable vest.
That's that a weird thing to
say. Even with that dumbass vest, he's still hot.
Yeah.
I love vest is pretty bad. Faces. I hate facial hair. I really do. So, which is great that I'm dating Justin because he literally cannot grow facial hair. So shout out to Justin. He'll be so mad at me for saying that.
Who I think does listen. Yeah, and his baby face. He does actually listen, so
you're in trouble. No, he actually doesn't.
We all need to get better men.
All right, so for this segment, the Magical Mashup.
Magical Mashup.
I am going to describe a Harry Potter's day off. The scene starts off with Harry in the hospital wing with Professor McGonagall and Dumbledore standing over him. Harry's pretending to be asleep. Dumbledore softly says, "Harry, Harry," and tries to wake him. Harry wakes up and says, "I'm not feeling well, Professor Dumbledore." He then tries to get up and talk to Dumbledore properly. Dumbledore tells him to just lay back down and get some rest. Harry turns to McGee and asks what is wrong with him. McGee says that he has a stomach ache and has clammy hands. Meanwhile, while Dumbly and McGee are talking, Harry turns over and groans. And while he's groaning, he licks his palms to continue making them feel clammy. All right. So Madame Pomfrey walks in and tells them that she thinks it may be a case of the dragon pox and that he's going to need to rest for the full day and will be given a vaccine and will likely be sent back to the Gryffindor common room so he doesn't take up a bed in the hospital wing. Dumbly and McGee go back over to Harry. Harry says to them, "Oh, but I have to go to class. I have an advanced potions test today and I can't miss." Dumbly says to Harry, "Harry, you cannot go to class like this. You need some rest." Harry says, "Okay," and lays back down. In comes Draco Malfoy, who is realizing that it's happening and shouts, "Blimey, you are letting him stay in bed all day again?" Dumbledore says to Malfoy, and he is clearly sick and needs to stay home. Malfoy says he is clearly faking it like he always does when it's nice out. McGee says, "Now, Malfoy, we will not tolerate this kind of behavior. Go back to class." "Go on." I'm cracking up that I wrote all this. Okay. Malfoy storms off and not happy and is muttering some obscene words. Madame Pomfrey gives Harry the vaccine, asks McGee to take Harry back up to the common room. And Harry is to report back to the hospital wing in 8 hours to get a checkup. And by that time, he should be feeling better. McGee takes Harry back to the common room and tucks Harry in and goes back to her classroom. Cut scene.
Smash cut.
Another scene?
You mean smash cut.
Whatever. All right. In charms class, Professor Flitwick starts doing roll call. Longbottom, Longbottom. "Here," says Longbottom. "Finnegan," "Here," says Seamus. "Abbott," "Here," says Hannah. "McMillian," "Here," says Ernie. "Potter," "Potter," "Potter." Lavender Brown says, "I heard from my best friend's boyfriend who has a friend who is dating someone in Gryffindor that Harry passed out last night in Hogsmeade. Apparently, it was really bad." Flitwick says, "Thank you." Flitwick says, "Thank you, Lavender." Lavender replies with, "Absolutely no problem whatsoever."
Yeah, you legitimately wrote a fan fiction.
Yeah, this is basically a fanfic. Yeah.
I know, I was reading it, and then Justin was like, "Oh, there's this really good fan fiction site that I have to tell you about."
Fanfiction.com.
Yes, fanfiction.com.
It was, actually. All right. All right, back in the Gryffindor common room, Harry is very excited that his plan worked. He goes over to Ron's bed, and Ron is sleeping and says he is really sick. Harry entices Ron that he is not really sick, that he just doesn't have anything to do. And then
let my Weasley go.
They then have to make up a plan to get Hermione. Harry tells Ron that they need to borrow his brother Percy's Thunderbolt 7 to go pick up Hermione because they can't be seen picking up her up in an old Nimbus 2000. Ron insists that this isn't a good idea and that Percy knows the mileage. Harry says that they will just fly backwards home to take off the miles. They go and get Percy's Thunderbolt 7 and they grab Hermione from potions class. All right, cut scene. Snape finds something suspicious with Harry not being in class. He phones McGee and asks, "Where's Potter?" McGee says, "Oh,
I..." He phones her?
I kept that in, and then I was like, "Wait, I don't think they have phones." And then
I'm just imagining like him holding his wand up to his face like it's a phone, and McGonagall doing the same thing, like, "Hey, hello."
All right, McGee says, "Oh, I totally forgot to let the faculty know Potter is sick today." Snape says, "Sick again? This is his 9th absence."
Nine times.
McGee says, "I don't remember him being sick 9 times, Severus. This isn't any of your business anyways." And she hangs up the phone. Cut scene. All right, going back. Harry, Ron, and Hermione go to Hogsmeade to get a butterbeer. When they get there, the bartender says, "Hey, aren't you Harry Potter?" And Harry just says, "No, I get that a lot. We just must look similar." The bartender leaves it at that and pours them their butterbeer. A seat over sits Dumbledore. He is casually reading the paper and drinking his butterbeer. They see him and immediately freak out. Right as Dumbledore looks over, they hide under the table. They eventually get out there without being seen. Harry says, "Out of the 4,000 bars here in Hogsmeade, Dumbledore has to pick the same one we do." All right, off they go to a Quidditch match. Ron says, hey, beater, beater, beater. So, woo, beater. Cut scene. Meanwhile, back at Hogwarts, people keep coming up to Malfoy and asking him if he has heard about Potter. Malfoy gets super angry and decides to just go back to the Slytherin common room. Crab and Goyle are waiting for him. They immediately go up to Draco once he gets back. Crab says, Malfoy, did you hear about Potter? Goyle says, I heard he passed out in Hogsmeade yesterday evening. Crab says, I hope he didn't lose a liver. Snape is not having this and doesn't like that Potter gets away with everything. He tries to get into the Gryffindor common room to catch Potter in the act of lying, but the fat lady will not have it. No, Severus, I'm not letting you in. Go take your big nose somewhere else, says the fat lady. Snape then tries to get in through a window by using his broom, but as soon as he gets in, Crookshanks comes in and attacks him. Cutscene. Back to the Quidditch match, Harry just leaves Ron and Hermione. And they have no idea where he went. Halftime is starting, and they hear this song goes out to my friend who claims he hasn't seen anything interesting today. Harry then starts singing Swish and Shout by the Weird Sisters. They realize they are running out of time, and Harry has a checkup time with Madame Pomfrey. They go back to get the Thunderbolt 7 and realize more miles were put on it than they thought, and Ron has a mini panic attack. Hermione ends up calming him down. Once they get back to the castle and drop off the broom, Harry's on his way to back to the common room when he sees Malfoy. Malfoy clearly intrigued that he sees Harry and wants to catch him in his lie and tell on him. He immediately starts running after him. Now they are in a full-on race back to the Gryffindor common room. They are going through the halls, pushing people over, and finally Malfoy accidentally full-on runs into Snape. This allows Harry to get away. Harry gets back into the Gryffindor common room, and right as McGee is turning the hall to check back on Harry and to bring him back to the hospital ring, Snape and Malfoy go up to McGee and tell her what Malfoy saw, and McGee says, this is just ridiculous. Potter is sick. Just give it up already, and she shoos them off. Harry stumbles over the passwords to the common room, and the fat lady is giving him a hard time. Caput Draconis, Harry says. The fat lady is way involved in herself and asks Harry, I'm sorry, young boy, what did you say? And Harry yells, Caput Draconis. The fat lady says, all right then, and opens the door just in time as McGee is making her way into the common room. Harry then gets back in bed. McGee comes in, takes him to the hospital ring, and gets a checkup. Madame Pomfrey says everything looks good, and Harry goes back to the common room where he meets Ron and Hermione, and they have all big grins on and laugh as they realize they totally got away with it. The end.
So ridiculous.
I loved it, though. That was really good.
That was really good. It was very creative. Hey, beater, beater, beater. It's a wing beater. Next up is a little game we like to call Mad Eye Moody Libs.
Are you barking mad?
So in this game, if you forgot or have never listened before or don't actually care enough to remember, I choose a passage from one of the Harry Potter books and ask for my sisters to come up with some words, and I plug them in, and hopefully it'll be funny. Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Ready.
Verb.
Running.
Jesus. Every time.
Sorry.
Did you have a better one, Dan?
Oh, no.
Okay. We'll just go with that. Okay, another verb.
Twist.
Adjective.
Babe an adjective?
Yeah, sure. Noun.
Nose.
Another noun.
Convertible?
A time of year or holiday.
Easter. Oh. What'd you want?
Christmas. Actually, you know what? I wanted Oktoberfest, because that's clearly the parade that's going on in Ferris Bueller.
Like, it's definitely not, because it's the end of the year.
Why are there so many German flags? Whatever, we'll go with Easter.
Noun.
Thunderbolt 7.
Another noun.
Liver.
And then another noun.
Parade.
I heard parade.
Parade is fun.
Well, the next one is a noun, so what'd you say, Amanda?
Economics.
Another noun.
Chipotle.
Now I'm hungry.
Another noun.
Mouse.
Emotion.
Swish.
It's not emotion.
How's that not emotion?
Swish?
Swish. An emotion.
Not a motion. Emotion. An emotion.
Uh-oh. Scheme.
Also not an emotion. I don't think you know what emotions. Do you have feelings?
Sorry,
are you a robot? Is Amanda a robot?
I thought you said emotion.
How about disgusted?
Another noun.
Piano.
A person or character name.
Genie.
A place name.
What the hell is that?
Like Hogwarts or England or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Disney World.
A verb.
Swish.
Okay. Noun.
Poop.
Great.
Adjective.
Rainy.
Another adjective.
Red.
Did red. You say red?
Yeah.
Okay. And then a verb.
Dance.
Okay. That's it. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So this is what Aunt Petunia says in the first book when Harry asks her if she knew that he was a wizard. Run? Run? Of course we run. How could you not twist? My babe sister being what she was. Oh, God, she got a nose just like that and disappeared off to that Ferrari convertible and came home every Oktoberfest with her pockets full of Thunderbolt Sevens, turning livers into economics. I was the only one who saw her for what she was, a parade. But for my mother and father, oh, no, it was Chipotle this and Mouse that. They were disgusted of having a piano in the family. Then she met that genie at Disney World and they left and got swished and had poop. And of course I knew you'd be just the same, just as rainy, just as red. And then if you please, she went and got herself danced and we got landed with you.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I especially like the addition of poop. Poop jokes make me laugh.
Because you're so juvenile.
I am. All right, everybody, it's time to spill that Veritaserum.
The time has come for answers. Have you brought the Veritaserum?
This question is from me. If you were in the wizardly world, what occupation would you have?
I think I'd be a project manager.
Boring.
Like for wizard projects, though.
Oh, okay, cool.
Right? Like super I would cool. just, like, because they don't have computers, so I would just use whatever kind of wizardly like spells are the equivalent of Microsoft Project.
Okay.
Very interesting. That is a great profession, Meesh.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. So I would be Hagrid's assistant.
Okay.
Specifically when he is care of magical creatures. Is that that was
professor? Yeah, he's professor yeah. of over care his, of magical creatures.
Yeah, I would be his assistant because I love those magical creatures.
This gives me a better idea for mine. So scratch magical project manager. I would be Newt Scamander's assistant, and I would get to see him shirtless.
Yeah, you could be a magic zoologist assistant.
Oh, yeah. God, that's amazing.
And you said just so you could see him shirtless.
Yeah, because remember, there's that whole scene with where his assistant is like, oh, you're wet. Should you change your shirt? And it's clear that she has like an ulterior motive.
That's awesome.
Just seeing him shirtless, I feel like I could do that. And then I could also just, you know, manage wizardly projects on the side.
Could I be, can I change mine?
Yeah.
Could I be Dumbledore's assistant when he is Jude
when
Law?
He's Jude Law?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
100%. Right. So what beefcake do you want to be the assistant for, Danny? And also, side question, could we get less feminist in our answers?
No, I was just going to say that. It's like, wow, we are awful right now.
Why are we so thirsty?
I think I'll be, since we're going with assistants, and now I'm just going to find an assistantship, I would like to be McGonagall's assistant, and I would like her to help
hot.
Me.
That's real hot, yeah.
I'd like her to help me become an anime guy.
Oh, Danny.
That's real ambition. That's not just horniness.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I would ask her to be a cat all the time so that I can just give her pets. Is that better?
That's weird.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. Yeah.
That's just weird.
I'm into it.
I'm okay
into
with it. Yeah. Cool.
But really, though, I'd be the CEO of magicministries.com because women can do it all.
Yeah, I'd probably actually be a healer of some sort because I feel like the magic healing is really cool.
Yeah, I'm going to actually stay with my assistant to Hagrid. Not to be I just really like magical creatures. I'll be a vet. A magical vet.
Okay, good all question, right. Me.
Really, really thought-provoking question that made us really think about our place in the universe. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our Ferris Bueller's Day Off episode. Life moves pretty fast, so don't forget to like, rate, save, subscribe, or whatever you're supposed to do so you don't miss the next episode. Please follow us on Instagram at sloppy.sorting.hat. and Twitter at Sloppy Sorting. Also, we're now on Facebook, so check us out there too if you want. And feel free to send us questions and suggestions on any of those platforms, or if you're my friend, just like fucking text me. Until next time, Donka Shane, and stay sloppy.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.